We are right now doing a short series on the gospel, the good news. What is the good news? And so we've called this The Good News Speaks, and we're taking a few weeks just to look at who has God created us to be, what have we become, and what has God done. And so the first week we looked at Psalm chapter 8, and we were looking at what has God created us to be. God created us to be below Him, and yet to have a special place above His creation as stewards and caretakers of the rest of His creation. And so we talked about that a little bit. What does that mean for us? How does that mean that we relate to God? How does that mean that we relate to one another? How does it mean that we relate to the rest of creation? If God is our creator, who is above us, who is greater than we, but He has given us this special place in creation where we can have a relationship with Him, honor Him, glorify Him for who He is, and yet live and take care of, do the work of maintaining the creation that He has made. And He's given us this special place to do that. And so we see in ourselves and in each other sort of this unique position in creation, and we ought to relate to one another in a way that honors and glorifies Him for who He is. And last week we talked about the brokenness that we find in the world and the brokenness that we find in ourselves. That is, that though God created it to be that way, that we would have this place below Him and above creation, we mess the whole thing up. And we get the order all backwards and upside down, and so we put ourselves above God and treat Him like a genie in heaven, that when we need something or want something, we throw up a cosmic wish and hope He does it. And we put ourselves below the creation as just sort of some sort of cosmic chance that we ended up this way, and we worship and treat the creation as greater than we. And we end up glorifying nature, we end up glorifying each other, we end up glorifying ourselves instead of glorifying the One who created everything and set the whole thing as it is to be. And we see that in ourselves, right? We see our own brokenness even in the way that we think about stuff. That we just think all wrong. And we find that our desires are even wrong, right? That we find that our desires are selfish, that we are jealous toward other people, that we are mean and hateful and spiteful to other people. When somebody wrongs us, we want to wrong them back. We want to pillage and plunder for our own glory anything that we can, right? I use those words and you're like, well, I'm not really a pillager or a plunderer. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But the reality is we want to take our resources and anybody else's resources that we can get a hold of and use them for our own advantage, for our own pleasure. Well, yeah, I sort of resonate with that, which I guess is sort of similar to pillaging and plundering. Right. I mean, I'm speaking from my own heart. This is brokenness. Right. It's the brokenness that I see in me. And so there we have this disconnect then between how God created us to be and how we find ourselves actually being. And we say, how can I overcome the gap? And it's a gap that even people who don't acknowledge God recognize. There's this gap between who I wish I was, what I would like to be, in an ideal, perfect world, this is who I would be, versus who I actually am. And we compare ourselves to everything. Right? We compare ourselves to celebrities, we compare ourselves to each other, we compare ourselves to our siblings, we compare ourselves to our parents, we compare ourselves to our children, we compare ourselves who we used to be, who we think we will become. We compare ourselves to our friends' Facebook profiles. We compare ourselves to Pinterest. Lord, help us. Do you know how disheartening it is to read a blog article? 10 ways in which you're screwing up your kids. Ha! I only got 8. Eleven ways to have a happy home. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 on a good day. And you look at the pictures that people take. I don't even know how they work the camera to get the pictures to look that good. How in the world did they make the room look like that? Oh, this was my weekend project. That was your... You know what my weekend project was? To pick up the toys. I didn't create any kind of wonderful organizer or beautiful fort or treehouse. I just picked up the toys. You can't tell this morning, but yesterday it was done. I should have taken the picture. But I was too tired. And if I had, I would have gone, look what my living room looks like. Click, and I'd have put it up online. And some other parent somewhere would look at that and go, oh, how does he do that? I took the picture. But this is what happens, right? We have this target, that which we wish we were. We wish we were the perfect parent. We wish we ate the healthy lifestyle. We wish we did all of the exercise. We wish we did the home projects. We wish we had that artistic touch. We wish we had the green thumb to do the gardening. We wish, we wish, we wish, we wish. Oh yeah, I also wish that I could do my devotions. I wish that I was a biblical scholar, that I knew all of the things about the Bible. I wish that I was more generous. I wish that I used my money better. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish I wasn't as broken as I am. And so we turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Isn't that descriptive? And we too were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead. Not struggling. Not trying to keep our head above water and keep from drowning, although that's what it feels like. All the way dead. Impossible to find life on our own. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the things that everybody does, right? It's not unique to you. You're not a special case. Everybody walks in those same ways, does those same things, has those same desires. That's why those blog articles resonate with us so much, right? That's why the books resonate and are so frustrating. You know, it took me like 5 parenting books to figure out I wasn't doing it all wrong. I was a slow study. It took me 5 books. I read the first one and realized I was doing it all wrong, and I tried really hard to find to do every single principle that it laid out in the book. I mean, we were regimented. And it didn't work just like the book said. And so I read another book and added more regimens. And read another book and read another book. And finally I realized these books are conflicting with one another. And it was then that I realized that these stinking authors are humans like me, whose families don't look like they look like in the book. And these principles of wisdom that can help you get there are not and don't work exactly like they say they will. It's an idealized version of the thing that they've tried and had moderate success with. And we follow the things of this world. And we try to make it better than what it is. We follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And yet, we're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. The reality of it is, at our most basic nature, we're self-seeking. And we simply pursue our own desires. And at our very best, we try and modify that and add to it so that we can perform or excel in some area. Whatever area that happens to be, whether it's marriage or it's parenting or it's sports or it's business or whatever, we're going to sacrifice everything else so that we can excel in one area. And we can try and get it right there. But the reality of it is that we are still, by nature, children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. Because even in our pursuing and our desire to work it out and make it happen somehow on our own, we still are trying to do it under our own strength and put ourselves above God. And we look to our own strength and we look to other people's wisdom and other people's principles, and we seek to do it on our own, and we just can't quite get there. Actually, it feels like we can't just quite get there. In reality, there's no way. It is impossible. We are dead. It's like trying for a rock to make itself start breathing. The rock cannot start breathing just because it wants to. It's dead. And so are we. No amount of work or effort will get us to where we want to be. But, and this is awesome, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You were dead, but God, being rich in mercy and love, has raised you up. That's our only hope. Our only hope. That the God who created the world and built it all to begin with, right? He made the whole thing to begin with. He's the only one now who, seeing its brokenness, could remake it. Can make it functional again. Right? So, I have a fancy phone. It's not super fancy. But it's fancy enough. If I drop it, and it breaks and it stops working, I can pick it up, I can pull out my son's little tinker kit, and I can take the screws out of it, and I can look inside. And maybe if I'm really lucky, I can identify which part is broken. And having identified which part is broken, I can take my son's little tinker set, and I can poke it just right, and it will be brokener than when I started. That's all I got. Even when I try really hard, I will break it broker than when it started. If I send it back to the manufacturer, the ones who built it and made it it was supposed to function, they can get back into the hardware and replace the pieces that aren't working like they're supposed to, make sure all of the connections are connected like they're connecting. Sure. They can add the software back in, and they can send it back to me and call it refurbished. And what refurbished means is works just like it's supposed to, like it was brand new. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that through God, we can be refurbished. That doesn't mean we get discounted at Fry's. It means that we can do and work and be that which God originally intended for us to be before we broke ourselves, before we became less than what we were supposed to be. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. And this is, look at this. Verse 6. And He raised us up with Christ, raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you remember what I said? That God created us to have this place beneath Him and above creation. And now what He's saying is that though we were broken and pursued all kinds of stupid things for our own selfish desires, God has recreated us to put us back in that position where He intended us to be all along. That is, He has raised us up and seated us in the heavenly places. This is where we now are. Right? Now, physically, we recognize we're sitting on this earth in this building right here. But spiritually, the work that He has done inside of us has put us positionally alongside Christ in the heavenly places with Him. That's really cool. That's really cool. That positionally now, we are with Him. We have not yet been perfected to be there for all of eternity, but positionally, our position with Him, the way that He thinks of us, is there with Christ, seated in the heavenly places. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want you to see here what He's saying. I want you to see what God has done for us. He has saved us by His grace. It was a gift for Him. It was something that He gave to us. It wasn't something that we could earn. It was a gift from God to us. Do you know why that's good news? Because you couldn't earn it. You could not pay for it. It was a debt you could not overcome. So he gave it to you as a gift. If I think about all of the sinful, stupid things that I have done in my life, and for the sake of being able to think about it in terms that I understood, assigned a dollar value to every sin that I committed, how would I ever pay back that debt? I couldn't. I could not ever repay that debt if I assigned a dollar value to every sin I ever committed. Even if I made the lesser sins lesser dollar values. Even if I did that. Even if I compared myself to somebody else and said, well, compared to them, it wasn't actually that bad, so I'll discount this one. That sin will be 50% off because it wasn't so bad as somebody else's. Even if I were to do all of those things and work the books as much as I could, there is no way that I could repay the debt that I have accrued. And I have a spiritual debt. I have a spiritual debt because I have rejected God's authority in my life. I have said to Him, I want to do it my way for my own reasons, for my own glory, for my own pleasure. And the way that that has worked out for me is that I have not been able to achieve my goals. I have not been able to become the person that I would like to become. And the person that I would like to become is much less than that which God would like me to be. Under my own power, I cannot do it. But God, right? Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. He says it again, those same words. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We are saved by the grace of God. It is His gift to us. There is no debt any longer because He has given us this grace. And now we receive that gift through faith. Okay, now I know that some people have sort of this misunderstanding about what faith is. That some people have this understanding that it's this hope, right? That faith is some sort of hoping in something that you can't see, or hoping or wishing that something were true. But what this faith is it's a belief. I believe it to be true. I believe that God has given me His grace. That's how we receive it. And when that happens, we receive the Holy Spirit, God's gift to us. God gives us this gift by taking away all of the debt, by giving us the righteousness of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be this power within us. And it's not a result of works so that no one may boast. It's not a result of, you cannot earn it, right? I've said that before, but now I want you to hear that in a new light. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. Now, do you know how I read this verse nearly every time? I read this verse, all right, I'm not allowed to boast. It was a gift from God. I'm not allowed to boast. And that's true. If this is a gift from God, it does not matter what you have done. You cannot earn it, so you cannot boast. You have fallen short, you cannot boast. But do you know what it means if no one can boast? There's also no shame. Think about that for a second. If no one can boast because of their works, if no one can say, I am superior to you because of the things that I have done. Nope, I received it as a gift, just like you received it as a gift. We all received it as a gift, which means no one can boast and no one need be ashamed. It does not matter what the debt was, what it looked like, why you accrued it. Could you earn it to pay it off? Nope. Then you can't boast and you can't be ashamed. It was because of the love of God that you were given this free gift. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I mean, this just keeps getting better and better to me. Not only has He positionally put us with Christ, not only has He taken away our debt and our shame and given us this free gift in His love to us, but also He gives us now the work to do. That is also a gift, right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right? God originally created us to be below Him, to be above creation, that we would relate to each other in a certain special way, that we would take care of the creation, that we would have these responsibilities and things that we should do, both corporately and individually. And we were broken and couldn't do them no matter how hard we tried. And now what this is saying is that God has already beforehand prepared the works that you will do that you might work in them. You see, part of becoming a Christian, part of believing and accepting by faith what God has done for us and to us, is that now we walk in these good works. So all of that stuff that we had been striving for and trying to do on our own strength, for our own purposes, and unable to do, now God gives us as a byproduct. That's the good news. That is the good news. That which we had been trying to do, right? We were trying to become this kind of a person. That's what we were striving for. And the good news is God has made us this kind of a person. And that's the byproduct. That wasn't actually the goal. That's just what He gives us in addition to being positionally with Christ in relationship with Him and having a brand new identity as His people in Him. Now we just do the works. It's a natural thing for us to do. We don't do it perfectly. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still learning about this new identity that we have in Him. But He's put the works in front of us and He's transforming us by His strength, by His power, as we begin to understand it in a brand new way. And we don't boast in these works either. It's just a byproduct of what He has already done in us. And how can you boast about the works that God puts before you to do any more than someone else can boast about the works that God put before them? When it is simply a walking faithfully in a brand new identity. No longer struggling sinner. Right? Inadequate father, lousy husband, lazy couch potato, successful athlete, mediocre businessman. I mean, whatever it was that our identity had been has now been changed. You are God's people. Because out of His great love for you, He has given you a gift that now you may accept by faith. This is the better news. Some of you are going, wait a second. You told us earlier we paid off a building. I already knew about this. I didn't say it was surprising news. I said it was better news. Yes, this week we paid off a building. We paid off a debt so that we could own a building. That's great news. Christ has paid off your debt, which was greater than the debt of this building. And if you look at the collective debts that we owed Christ in this room, don't actually do that. It'd be embarrassing. I'll do it for you. If you look at the collective debts that Christ paid off in this room, this is amazing news. I don't have to have any shame when I read the blog articles. When I look at the Facebook profiles, when I read the how-to books, I can look for principles of wisdom to apply, but I know that my standing with Christ is already in the heavenly places, and that all of the work that He has given me to do, He has set before me and given me His Holy Spirit that I might do it. And all of the glory and all of the praise goes to Him. May I not be ashamed and may I not boast, but may I give all praise and all glory to the one who has recreated me. Let's praise Him together.